they turned away from it.
And I'd like to go over, speak, first of all, the Indonesian has, I've got the outside of my father, of Imaya, Ries, Nelson, Benesali, she should be the Indonesian also. I'd like to speak about the Indian, a bit more what we said. I spoke about 2 weeks ago about the Indian of Bittl Kelime Chonoi, and also a little bit about the din of Ein Oisim Graf Shel Rei, which is a little bit quite similar. They're two different dinim, but they are a little bit similar one to another. Just basically, to start off, what is the din of, what does it mean, bittl keili mehi chonoi? That means, you cannot, the translation of the words is bittl keili to anala keili mehechonoi from its prepared use. A keli has got a use in it. And on Shabbos, if you make the keli in some way useless, you are over the issa drabonon of bittl keli mehechonoi. Which some rishonim learn, Rashi learns, it's called boine. You're fixing the keli in its place, and it's not removable anymore. That's called the Issa Boina. And the Rambam learns it's Issa Soisa. You're destroying the actual Keli from its use, even though normally we hold Ein Binyan Ustira Bekelim, but making a Keli completely from beginning to scratch and destroying a Keli, for that we hold Yesh Binyan Ustira Bekelim. The Gemara uses the example of bittl keli ve'chonoi. The Gemara uses the example of when you have a light burning and there's oil dripping out of the keli. You're not allowed to put a keli underneath the dripping oil to catch the oil because the oil is muktzah machmasisa. And therefore, you're causing the keli to become muktzah, a bosses for the keli, the whole Shabbos.
Surely, before you said destroying it, Lamassi, you're not destroying the keli, because in a few hours' time you can...
In Shabbos, as far as the day of Shabbos is closed, in Shabbos, yes. We're looking at what's going for Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not going to be able to use it, so that's already
called destroying.
That's already called destroying, yeah. It's already called, yeah. Bimbinian or Sosa, it's already called... That's already called... Yeah, according to the Rambam, that would be called destroying. So, putting the keli there, that's the good example of the Mishnah, putting the keli underneath the dripping oil to catch the oil that it shouldn't get wasted. Now the oil, the keli is a bosses for the oil, so that is called bittl keli mehechonoi. That was one of the examples of the Gemara brings. So, we spoke last time, 2 weeks ago, also another case of the Gemara mentions it, if it's raining from the roof, or the boiler's got a leak, and dirty water is coming in on Shabbos, so it's the same thing with to put a keli there, to catch, it's not a great amount of dripping water. You've got a huge keli which you can put there, and that keli will stay there the whole Shabbos, and the dirty water dripping from the boiler will drip into this keli. And it's water which is not fit for an animal to drink, or for you to use for washing purposes on Shabbos. So then it's bittl keli mechonoi. You're putting the keli in a position that this keli is not going to be able to be removed the whole Shabbos. That would be an example of bittl keli mehechonoi.
Is that because you've got no use whatsoever for that water? If your toilets aren't working, you want to pour it down the toilet to do that way?
That's fine. That wouldn't be a bittl keli mehechonoi.
No, so then does that make it klishon after leisa? Because it's, and if I can move it away for tzorech b'koma, so go for it.
It wouldn't be muktzah at all, but if you can still use that water, if that water's got use on Shabbos, then it wouldn't be muktzah at all.
We
It's got.
No, but since there's a use for the water in certain circumstances, therefore it's never going to be a muksa.
Well, no, I'm being practical.
It's accused after this, so therefore, so about the claim was.
We don't normally reckon people with broken toilets. We reckon people have animals and rechitzas. If this is fit for drinking of an animal, we call it fit. If it's unfit for an animal to drink, we consider it muksa. Now, we don't call that odd case that you might just need it if the toilet will break. That's a very, very unlikely case. So we wouldn't reckon with that. If your intention is to move the keli as soon as it gets full, to empty it and put it back there again, then it will be the other problem of ein oisin graf shel rei lechatchila. You can't lechatchila make a keli, take a keli with intention of making it a graf shel rei. Perhaps I should explain a little bit. The din of graf shel rei, the term graf shel rei means, we'll talk about it better, shall we, but more to the graf shel rei is a heter. That if you have something in the room which disturbs you, then you may take it out. Example, you've got the dustbin in the heat, is smelly from some fish, so you put it in the bin and it smells and it bothers people in the room, you may take the bin out. That's an example of a graf shel rei.
There.
Pardon?
The noise from there.
Yeah.
Just say please mute yourselves. Just say please mute yourselves.
Please move yourselves.
Mute yourselves.
Please mute yourselves. So that would be an example of graf shel rei, generally a heter. If you find a mouse, says the Gemara, you can pull it out by the tail and chuck it out as well. It's graf shel rei. But you can't, lechatchila, cause a graf shel rei that you should be able to move it out. So that example would be when we have the dripping water of the boiler, if it's pouring in, if a lot of water is pouring in, and you would like to take the bucket there, put it there with intention of when the bucket is full to empty it out and bring in it, then it would be a problem of ein oisin graf shel rei lechatchila. You can't cause a graf shel rei. If you have a graf shel rei, you can take it out, if there is one there. But you can't, lechatchila, cause a graf shel rei. Right, so let's get back to, there's actually three cases. Going back to bittul keli mechomoi, that you can't make a keli unfit, not fit anymore to use. So the truth is there are three different, perhaps, types of, perhaps we say when they do go into the category of bittul keli mechonoi or not. The Ramah brings from Hagas Ashri, you're allowed to put a keli under a nair of wax, which might fall on the table and light something there. So you're allowed to put a keli there. And you can't compare it to the Mishnah that says you can't put a keli under oil, because the wax, I don't need it. I can throw it out straight away as soon as it lands in the keli. I just don't want it to be there on the, don't want it to fall on the surface.
Not the
buckle of the keli. As soon as it's there, I can throw it out. So that you're allowed to do, that's not my bittul keli mechonoi. That's one stage. Talk about it a bit more, a little bit later. Then the Ramah says, when there is a wick which is falling off, that you're not allowed to do it. A wick which is falling off, there you're not allowed to put a keli underneath, unless there's a Ramah Hefsid. Right? Because that is a bittul keli, not for the whole Shabbos, it's for half a Shabbos. So we have three bits and different types of perhaps bittul keli mechonoi. If it's immediately when it falls onto the keli, you can flick it off, that is mutar lechatchila. If it's leshor, you need it there for a little bit amount of time, then it's only mutar hefsid. If you have a special, if you have for a hefsid, that is mutter. And the third case is when you want it there for the whole of Shabbos. And you want it there for the whole of Shabbos, then there's no heter, even if there would be a hefsid. Hefsid God, we don't allow that at all. So one of the examples, which is, so let's say, for example of the middle cases, for example, let's say you have a camera left, expensive camera left on the bed. And you didn't want it there, so the bed is not a bosses. So you'd like to shake the camera off. Now to shake an expensive camera on the floor, it's person wouldn't want to do that in case that the camera would break. So what would the idea be? Put a cushion. You should shake the bed onto the camera onto the cushion. And then once on the cushion, then you don't mind to shake it on the floor. It's just it's not a great height. That wouldn't cause any damage to the camera. That is the middle case of Bittul Keli Lefisho, which is mutter by Hefsid Godel.
Putting a bucket under a leaking roof, so with the rain, you don't know that's going to carry rain. Man stop, so it might be a shot.
Yeah, if it's only a
shot. I know, I think it is. I'm in Vine Street when we have years of leaking roofs, Rob was quite mad not to actually put a bucket there, because I think that was the problem with the actual buckets.
You might just leave it there.
But just clarifying, if sometimes in Manchester it stops raining.
Stop raining, hold up. What is the intent? But is your intention then when it stops raining you would take the bucket or would you just leave it? It depends more what would you
leave.
Yeah, depends there. So that really depends what, if you're going to leave, if it disturbs you in the middle of shul to have a bucket there. If it doesn't bother, you're used to it, then it
maybe could. That's the answer to have intention that if it does start raining, I'll leave the bucket. It might be alright.
Then it would be bitter kailin if he's shot, then it could be the tzor of a hefsid. If it's a called the hefsid, is it doing damage to the.
To the rotten carpet? Yeah, probably a bit more.
But so that depends if it would be considered a mokem hefsid or not.
If you remember, they can't hear the question, so it's.
Yeah.
Do you remember? If it's a good question, then.
Yeah.
I'm also sorry.
Yeah. So that's the case. So these are the three. If you could do it, so straight away. To you, man. To do it straight away would be mutter lachatchela. If you can do it lemikta Shabbos, b'mokem hefsid is mutter. And if it's for the whole Shabbos, it's also even for Mokim Hefsid. So the interesting thing is, by the case of oil, theoretically, you could also empty it straight away. But you don't want to do it because you want to keep the oil. So when it's obvious from the Maisa that you don't intend to do it, that's like Ke'ilu, the man, you see his, from his action, it's going to be, he wants it there for the whole of Shabbos.
Yeah, go to it.
If it's there already, then Chaim Fuld is asking, can you go to move it? Yes, I suppose you could shvus to shvus when there's would you consider it a vamokim tsar? Shvus to shvus we allow when there's three conditions, when it's vamokim tsar or hefsid or tsar of mitzvah. If you go under one of these categories, if it would be tsar or hefsid or mitzvah, then you could tell a goy to move it. Another example of Bittul Keli Mechono is not only when you put an article of Muktzer in it. What happens, let's say, Mishabura brings in Shin Hay such an example, to put cushions in water, that they won't be fit to be used the whole of Shabbos. Yes, the animal is stuck. The water is stuck in a pool of water, a ditch of water, so the cushions there that the animal should get up, is also Bittul Keli Mechono. In the cases where there's no problem of kibbles and so on, with no problem, let's say the cushions is, there's no problem of washing them, it's dirty water, there's no problem of libum, Bittul Keli Mechono. You're making the cushions unfit to be used for their purpose. It would also be a case of Bittul Keli Mechono. Another example I saw brought down in the Sefer Urcha Shabbos is, and that's talking about putting, putting away a nappy, and you haven't got a nappy bag. So you're taking a good bag, a good carrier bag, which is meant to be reused. Now this is a little bit of a, perhaps we can say this halacha is questionable, because what do you consider the status of a carrier bag? Let's say the different types of carrier bag. We say there are some carrier bags which you use, which are meant, often people just use one of the very thin ones. There's perhaps middle ones, we'll call them Tesco carrier bags. And there's others which cost 50p or so. So to take a carrier bag of expensive type, which is meant to be reused, and put a pamper in it, and throw the pamper away like that, is bittul keli mechonai, because a carrier bag has also got to consider the keli, and it's meant to be reusable. And the fact that you're putting a pamper into it, that lechayra would be called, could be a shayla, bittul keli mechonai. The medium, I say, the thin bags, people, not everybody keeps them. They use, people throw them away as well. We use, want to throw them away as well. The middle class bags, we call perhaps the Tesco quality bags, McLaren as well. Perhaps some people do throw them away straight away. Some people do them. So if it's also made to use for rubbish, then it would be okay. But at least an expensive type of carrier bag you cannot use to put something in to just throw it away straight away, because that lechayra would be a bit.
There will be a time when you will throw it away.
Yeah.
It's going to get used that many times, you will throw it away. So
That's not that. If lemaisa, it's.
The Roman is still in good use.
So you're allowed to put on Shabbos, let's say, you're allowed to definitely put rubbish in a bin, even though it's empty. Bittul keli, not as not shayla, bittul keli mechonai, because that's meant for that. Like you're meant to put it in, you're allowed to put it in a dustbin bag. I'm bittul keli mechonai, I'm not being able to use the dustbin bag. That's what the dustbin bags are meant for. That's what bags are meant for. To put things in, let's say to put rubbish in bags which are meant just for one use, let's say what they call freezer bags, and these things is chayzach hamuta, because even though they're not meant for put rubbish in, but they're meant for to use it once. And once you use it once, you throw the bag away. So what's the difference if I use it for food and then I throw it away after I'm finished the food? Or I straight away use it for something to throw away. So that's definitely mutter to put rubbish in a nylon bag, in these freezer bags, in these food bags. That's not called bittul keli mechonai. You're allowed to dry your hands on paper towels. I bittul keli mechonai. Good, but that's the use. That's how the towels are meant to be used. If the hands would be very dirty, in a chinami, it could be, it's a question to dry them on a choshiva towel. It's not a throwaway towel. That would be making the towel muktza. That might be considered bittul keli mechonai, making a towel unfit to be used as well. If you have a dover heter in the keli, which is more choshiva than the muktza, then that would be an eitzer of bittul keli mechonai, being an eitzer for you. Let's say when a roof is, something's leaking in the shul. So you take a container of tomato ketchup, which is closed, and you put that in your bucket under the leak, and then when the water comes in, you're not mabatul keli mechonai, because it's a bosses for the tomato ketchup and for the dirty water, and it's obvious that the tomato ketchup is more important than the dirty water. So that wouldn't be considered bittul keli, that would be an eitzer how to do it.
If you put the bucket under the hole in the roof, so you don't then take it out and the water will drain afterwards. So there's only ever temporary time. You don't have to.
So that is a problem like this. If you only want to put it there and take and temporarily and empty it as soon as you can, you're making a graf shel rei.
Yeah.
Then you have the other problem. I'm causing something which I have to take up. So in order to avoid that problem, you have to have in mind to leave it there permanently. Yeah, and then you get bittul keli mechonai. So the one of Shekh, you're stuck
from... That's how you get the cushion. You can give when the camera going onto the cushion.
Yeah.
And there's only a temporary purpose. And then it will need to take it off the cushion. So here, the water's coming down from the roof,
but you know it's only going to be there for 10 minutes, and then you're going to put it in somewhere else. That water might be, the bucket might pull up, you might need for fresh water to go in.
And this, if you want to compare it to the case of the camera, we said, Bittu Keli Leshaw, not Leshaw, it's not a one as a Tzorah. So Bittu Keli Leshaw is, even if it's Bittu Keli Leshaw, yeah, but the problem is, the camera is not a considered a despicable object. But this is where this Garaf Shal Rein. It's more of a mos, so it's more of a problem. You're making it into a Garaf Shal Rein. So it's worse than that. Let's go over to Garaf Shal Rein. Garaf Shal Rein, as we mentioned, is a heter, which is used for something which is mos. You're in the room, and it's where people are living there and using that room, and that's something which causes a person discomfort. You're allowed to take it out. That's what we call Garaf Shal Rein. Example, we mentioned a dead mouse, or there's a dirty nappy, even a dirty nappy in a base kisse, where people go in and out and it disturbs people, even in there, you can take it out and put it in a bag, because that is considered Garaf Shal Rein. Talking about a dustbin, it's important to note a dustbin which has got psoiles in is muktzah. So therefore, if you want to bring the dustbin to the table to clear the dirt off the table, it's also to do that, because that is muktzah. It's considered a bosis for tava osa, so if you can't bring the dustbin to the table or to the room, you can have to bring the psoiles to the bin. You can't move the bin around in the house, because that is considered a tava muktzah. Whereas the lid of the dustbin lid is like a keli shemalach doyleisa, and that's not part yet. So that's like that you can move. That's not considered part. That's not considered the bosses. It's got a din, a special din, because it's got its own use to open and to flatten to put the rubbish in. So that you can even lift it up to put the rubbish in, and you can cover it. You can move it. Yeah, and I'm also allowed to take the lid and cover the bin. That is called the Tzorech Gufoy.
You put it in the bins which eventually wheel outside?
Coming to that now. A dustbin, sometimes they have a dustbin which it works. You put your foot on the pedal and the whole bin tilts outside that you can put the rubbish in. Doctor surgery have these things, so that when they don't get. So that is the maisa also to use on Shabbos, because when you're pressing your foot on the pedal, the whole bin moves forward, and you can't call that klachayat because it's not a shinu. That's how it's meant to be used. Mashayin came.
Open a cupboard door which got bins inside it. Also says.
Shabbos nish posh with zacha. That's a.
The lid.
So what about those other bins, which Harvey, put your foot on and the lid opens.
Right.
Those are mutter.
Yeah.
Because the lid, as we said before,
it's not moving the bin.
The lid has got a separate thing.
Here the whole bin's open, you're opening that bin, and when you pull it out the door, it's in the cupboard, so it's like, when you open the door, the bin's opening up for you.
Did the bin come out?
I didn't want to speak out that, because that's a bit controversial. It's not so clear, because it could be like, you're allowed to open the door if something's mukta behind it, because it's toppled to the door. Every kitchen cupboard is entitled to have a door. So this is a better way to have a door. Okay, this door doesn't have any kalim inside. It's only got the bin, but that's part of your kitchen. So when you open the door, that's not called moving the bin. So l'chora, that shvetz asara, yeah, I don't want to say that's l'chora no good. That seems to be yeshama lismo. You can do that. So again, if it just covers, if you just open the lid or you put your foot and just move the lid, that is okay. It's only when you're moving the whole bin. A full bin, which is full and there's no more room to put the rubbish in, you should not take it out. When there's no smell, you should not take it out to the main bin outside, because again it's mukta. There's no heter Garaf Shal Rein. The fact that it's full is not a grocery. You can take another bag and start a fresh, fresh bin. So unless it's a rech rav, a rech rav has a bad smell, or mitzad, that there's just a full bin, that is not, not enough heter to take the bin out. You should start, put a new bin, which would be suitable for the... So we're going to open a new bin, put it next to that bin.
If it was empty way before bin hashmoshes, it's empty. I can't then take that bin out, outside, the empty black bag. There was nothing in it before Shabbos. I filled it over Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, I want to take it outside.
Now it's mukta.
What's the exact
There's no mukta before that.
It's mukta now. It's no possible before that.
They say it's Rashi Array. I can't leave another black bag in the kitchen around us because it's dirty.
If it's smelly, you can take it out.
I'm going to take the old one out and put that one.
If it's smelly,
it disturbs you.
Back in the middle of the kitchen.
You've got all this, the foods from
food
the shop.
Food's not awesome.
You can't just leave it.
It disturbs you.
No, no,
it's
food.
Put it in the outside.
Wait,
does
this do it?
If you watch it,
if it's disturbing you, you can take it out. Little man, it's not disturbing you, just it's full, and I need more room to empty the next.
You've got food inside it, which is edible food.
You've thrown out
a piece of chicken, which is edible.
Once you've thrown it away, peels of oranges. If it bothers you, you can take it. If it bothers you, take it out. But just the fact that it's got no room, then it's not that bad. I'd like to finish off in Yom HaDayomer, a Maisa, which I read a long time ago, about the Bava Vareva, Zecha Tzadik Levracha. The Maisa goes as a Bava, I think it was Rav Shlomo. He had an African-American worker in his house, decorated the house. So the first thing he comes to him in the morning and he says, "Have you had breakfast?" He says, "No." So he makes him sit some down to the table, gives him bread, yogurt, not quite his taste of breakfast, but whatever the rabbi says, he eats it. And then he tells him, "You should know, if it's not perfect, the decorating, it doesn't matter. The only thing which is perfect is the house of Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash had to be perfect. My house doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't matter if things don't work out. Do you? It doesn't matter if it's not work perfect." A while later, this same painter is employed by somebody else. And he doesn't have the edelkeit of the Bava Vareva. So he tells him, "You should know, if this is not going to be perfect, you're going to get it from us." So this worker turns to him and says, "Nothing has to be perfect in this world, only the house of Hashem. The house of Hashem has to be perfect, that's it, nothing else has to be perfect." And that's what we have to know a little bit in our times. Hashem wants us to live what we need to live. But perfect, things don't have to be perfect. So the only thing of the house of Hashem has to be perfect, and not our own houses. Another story, which of course is very illustrates this. To make it short, when the High Commissioner when Britain took over, United Kingdom took over then the Palestine area to Israel from the Turks, Ottoman Empire. So they appointed Sir Herbert Samuel to be the High Commissioner in Eretz Yisrael. So he went there, he visited all members of religion there. The Russian church, or the Greek church, and the Chengveinu. They all lived in Chosheva mansions. In the end, he sent a message to Rabbi Yochanan Zonneveld, he'd like to visit the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael as well, the chief rabbi. So the Mormon people told Rabbi Yochanan Zonneveld, "You can't take him anymore. You live in such a low place, low there. We've got to sort of make a meeting in a different place." He said, "No, I didn't call him to come. If he wants to come to me, he's going to come where I live." The only thing he agreed is to put a new tablecloth on the table. Okay, so here I go, and he comes to the Machse, dismounts from the house, says, "Gavin Ayid," it was a traditional Ayid. So he comes into the house, he bends down, he was a tall person, he bends down, and he comes into this basement apartment of Rabbi Yochanan Zonneveld and Rabbi Machzeh, and he says to him, "Rabbi, could you not have found a lower apartment to live?" So Rabbi Yochanan Zonneveld doesn't say anything, he just takes him to, he says, "There's one window in the apartment." He opens the curtain and he says, "Can you see from here?" This is where the Besamidrash used to stand. And here it's desolate. The temple is destroyed. And there's all the shrines, the Goyim Gam, whatever they do, and they play football there and that. He says, and this wasn't only our temple, it was the house of Hashem. If the house of Hashem is in ruins, is it so? Do I have to live on any higher standard than that? For Shani, he got a shock by this man. He didn't say anything, but he realized that with what this rabbi is talking on a different level than that. And he left it and made a stronger impression on him. So that the message for us is, Taka, part of being the Sabbath on the Churban is, yes, Taka, we have to remember the Beis HaMidrash is not there anymore. Therefore, our homes don't have to be perfect. Good, Taka, we don't want things like roofs dripping in with shyness of Graf Sharei. Other everything should have, Taka, should have be secure and safe. And Baruch Hashem should have Baruch Hashem complete houses. But remember now, this is that the Beis HaMidrash is not complete, so how doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.